A legal education means you will learn to speak in a new language. You will be taught to achieve insight into the world around you and to sharply question what you know.
You can't handle the truth!
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
What are you doing, detective? What are you doing talking to my client without me present? You sneaky Pete!
Lose! I don't lose! I win! I win! I'm a lawyer! That's my job! That's what I do!
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Comedians of Law podcast. This week, I'm your host, Matt Ritter. Along with me this week is Kevin Israel.
What's going on, Matt? How we doing?
Good. I had a really good July 4th weekend. I barbecued a little bit. How about you?
Yeah, you know, the same. Had a couple beers, had some burgers, saw some fireworks.
I got a little aggressive on my grilling.
Yeah?
I've never had a grill before, and so I bought a grill, and I already tried to make ribs. I don't think you should just jump into ribs. I feel like, you know, you get a grill, you should start off with some hot dogs and burgers, and then, you know, maybe your third or fourth time grilling, maybe it's time to make some ribs.
Yeah, ribs are tough because they have to be cooked slowly, and you gotta do them right. I don't think I've ever done ribs.
Well, here's what happened. I got the grill, and I got over-anxious, so I invited people over, and they were like, okay, we're coming over in a half hour.
Well, that's just bad party planning.
It's bad party planning. So, yeah, there's no such thing as 15-minute ribs. There may be 15-minute abs, but there's no 15-minute ribs.
No, definitely not.
No, so that was a disaster. But, you know, here's the kicker on that joke. That joke of a debacle. Three of the five people I invited were vegan.
Were vegan?
Yeah, they didn't even eat the ribs.
That's such a California thing.
I know. So me and my girlfriend were the only one who ate the really crappy ribs.
So nobody knew, but the two of you just said they were fantastic.
All we had to do was just make our faces look like they weren't. So yeah, but other than that, it was a great weekend.
Very nice, very nice. Well, happy 4th to you and happy 4th to all of our listeners.
Happy 4th to America.
Yes, to America. And hope everybody had a safe 4th of July. Hope everybody had a couple drinks, but didn't drink too much and didn't drink and drive, which will lead us into one of our stories. But first, we have, as always, some kind of announcement. So August 10th, Saturday, August 10th, we will be at Poconuts Comedy Club in Pennsylvania. It's actually for the Poconos. That's 2092 Pennsylvania, Route 611 in Swiftwater, PA. And you can go to PoconutsComedy.com for tickets. Or as always, email us at info@comediansatlaw.com. Again, that's Saturday, August 10th at 9. It's a 9 o'clock show at Poconuts Comedy Club. Should be great. It's going to be a good time. It's a fun club. So if you're in the Pennsylvania area, definitely come on out.
I like the Poconos.
Yeah, the Poconos covers a big swath of area,
and it's got comedy history.
It does.
Yeah, all the like Borscht Belt comics.
Right. All the old Jewish resorts.
Oh yeah, big time. I mean, all the
my family used to go to those resorts.
Shecky Green, who else? Alan King, Jackie Mason, all those guys cut their teeth at Poconuts probably.
Sadly, those places, the resorts don't really exist anymore.
Not really. Is Poconuts a resort or is it just a club?
Poconuts is a club outside of a resort area, but it's not those resorts. This is more of like a ski resort area.
I feel like we should bring that back.
I think we should. I think we should bring back the Dirty Dancing-esque resort.
I really like that. I like the idea of there being a resort where Comedians in Law are the... That's our home base.
And nobody puts Kevin in a corner.
Nobody puts Kevin in a corner. Kevin is getting impregnated and his dad has to help him out.
And on that note, let's go into our first story.
But since when has the paragon of investigative journalism allowed lawyers to determine the news content?
This has been viral. This has been all over Facebook and the internet. The story of a young man, Chris Kalba, a 21-year-old from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. The hell of a name for a town. He was stopped at a DUI stop, normal standard stop. He had not been drinking. When the cop came over, he rolled his window down a crack. The officer asked him to roll his window down all the way. Mr. Kalbaugh politely declined to roll his window down for all the way, saying that he didn't have to. At what point the officer started to get a little frustrated with him, demanding that he pull over, and finally getting young Mr. Chris Kalbaugh out of the car and questioning him. It resulted in a canine unit coming out to sniff his car for drugs. They claimed that the dog did sense something, smelled something. So they then searched his car. They of course found nothing. Chris complied. He did question everything the cops were doing. They really had no answers for him. Why they were checking the car? Why they were forced to get out of the car? And now it's become a big thing because people are saying, you know, our rights are slowly being infringed upon, you know, one by one.
You know. Before we get into the legal stuff, you don't know this because you weren't at the Nashville show that we did, but I actually have a friend, believe it or not, I mean, this is too much. I have a good friend who's a DUI attorney in Murfreesboro.
Shut up.
Alex and JL met him at when we did a show down there.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
We should have had him on.
Well, here's the funny thing. So I got to tell you, just this is my impression of Murfreesboro, is that a lot of people drink and drive because he's done very well out there being a DUI attorney. In fact, I won't name him by name because I don't know if he would want us to, but he actually hands out bottle openers with his name on them.
That's brilliant advertising. Is that legal advertising?
I don't know if it is or it isn't. That's why I won't say the name.
It's ethical. Oh, I think it is.
You know, it's just to keep in mind. If, in case you're going to drink, you better call your attorney.
If you're using this bottle opener while you're in the car, you might want to call me.
You might want to call me. How funny is that?
That's just a really random call.
Yeah, yeah.
You should get in touch with him, and we should have him on. We should interview him for next week.
All right, I'll reach out to him, see if he wants to be on the podcast, because he would definitely have a lot to say about this story. The first thing I'll say is, we have DUI checkpoints in LA all the time, and you know, I'm never tempted to talk back to the cop because I just want to get through it and get home, you know?
Right.
Like,
none of us like getting pulled over. It creates a sense of horror whenever you get pulled over. Even if it's, you know, a checkpoint, you haven't been drinking, you immediately feel like you're guilty of something.
Yeah, but I find DUI checkpoints to be a very necessary and useful tool, I think.
Oh, I agree. And I'm definitely not saying that these checkpoints shouldn't happen or they're wrong. I just think that I think what this really shows, and this is just one officer, I have nothing against police. I think police, people who go into the police work, and police forces are amazing. Thank God for them. But you know, every now and then there's a bad apple, and I think this shows that the cops need to be at least a little more literate with what they can and can't do, because they should realize, at least especially for their own sake, that we all have cameras in our phones. We have recording equipment with us at all times.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's absurd in 2013 for a cop to just illegally search your car.
Right.
I mean,
Which really, in the end, they did, because they said that there was no reasonable suspicion. I've read a number of lawyers' takes on this, and I'd be very interested to hear your friend's take. There was no reasonable suspicion. They had no reason to bring to take him out of his car. He did not need to roll down his window. And they sure as hell didn't need to call in a police unit.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the funny part, right? They're basically trying to say, and this is total crap, the idea that reasonable suspicion is created by being on the defensive.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And I remember in law school we would always talk about this. I didn't do any criminal law after law school or any type of stuff. But we would always say that, listen, if a cop wants to check your car, he'll find a way to check your car.
Oh, yes. He'll say he was, you know, he was making a weird sniffing sound.
Right. And, you know, there was a smell. His eyes were darting around. He seemed suspicious. I mean, they're going to get into your car. Right? It's almost one of those things where do you draw? And actually, the smartest thing, and what I think what everybody's always told to do, is just comply with the cops and deal with it after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, right, it's going to be inadmissible.
Right, right. And look, the kid said he never did drugs. He's never had drugs in his car. You know, so clearly he had nothing to worry about. This was more him flexing his you know, God-given rights muscles.
Yeah, was this kid, he sounded like somebody who's in law school.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think he's just a college student, but I think he should go to law school, and he'd probably be one of those really annoying bastards in the front row.
Yeah, he would be annoying
all the time, and adding to the teacher's hypotheticals.
Oh, completely. But you know what? I learned most of what I know about illegal searches from Jay-Z and 99 Problems.
Right, right. Always lock your trunk and your glove compartment.
Yeah, so because you're gonna need a warrant for that.
Yes. Yes, you are.
So,
yeah, you know what? Let's end it with that, because I think if we could get your buddy on, we can talk about this more next week, and that would be interesting.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what he'll have to say about this whole thing.
So, why don't we move on to one of the other massive stories that's been in the paper in the past few weeks? Is Mr. Snowden? If you don't know who this gentleman is. He was the guy who leaked NSA information about them tapping phones and other methods of searching citizens' documents. And now he's fled the country. He was in Russia for a while. I think he was going to go to China. Now he's still in Russia, and he's looking for a country that where he can settle down and that will give him a grant of asylum. And it seems like it's going to be Venezuela.
I think the easiest way to sniff out who hates us is the old who's going to take in our basically people who, you know, commit treason against our country.
Yeah, it really surprised me because this is one of those stories that I've been following, you know, at a glance, not very closely, but I'm always curious, why would any country want to take in somebody? I mean, you know, we can argue whether or not we're still a superpower, but we're still one of the bigger kids on the block.
Yeah, but you know, Venezuela's always sort of been agitating. Like, they're not afraid of us.
Well, according to New Jersey's own Senator Bob Menendez, who's the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, he said he wasn't surprised that the three different Latin American nations were offering asylum. Apparently, they like sticking it to the United States at any chance they can get.
Yeah, well, they're doing it. Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with you. You know, I mean, regardless of whether you think he's innocent or guilty, as a sovereign foreign nation who has ties to the U.S., what is the upside?
Right. And this is, and I would be interested, and I'm sure if a little research, we could find out how much money the various nations who are offering asylum get from us. I'm sure Venezuela gets some aid from America that they probably would not want to lose.
We've probably cut them down very close to zero ever since Chavez has been agitating for the past 5 years, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? There's a lot of trade that goes on. Pissing us off and cutting us out of the mix could be really damaging to a country's economy.
No. Yeah, I agree. I don't really see what the upside is other than sticking it to us, which I guess is something that, you know, looks good in the eyes of some of their citizens or... I know Venezuela is tied to Iran. They've got the oil connection.
Yes. Apparently, Bolivia and, no surprise, Nicaragua also offered asylum to Spain.
Well, you know, and here's the thing, right? At the end of the day, somebody's gonna take him in, right? Somebody's going to do it, whether it's Nicaragua or Bolivia. And eventually, all that's going to do is buy some time.
Yeah.
He's going to have to face the music. I mean, look, and I don't even know, you know, I don't know how I feel about the whole, you know, about the whole thing that he did, you know. I mean, look, we've, you know, our government has gotten really through, you know, everybody thought Obama was going to sort of, you know, get rid of a lot of Bush's very sort of, you know, anti-civil rights policies with respect to privacy and all that stuff. And he's sort of been, you know, further, he's extended those policies.
Yes, yeah, and you know what, he's done so pretty covertly, because nobody's really talking about it.
He's done, absolutely.
Until this discovery, so, you know, I think Ed Snowden is going to go down as one of those anti-heroes in American history, who, you know, for whatever reason, revealed something that maybe needed to be known, but, and you know, he claims that he felt that people needed to know this, but... I don't know if his actions were as selfless as he would like us to believe.
I don't think they were. I think, you know, he was... that's the problem, right? It's always... But here's the thing. We're always trying to separate the action from the man. Like, even with Assange and, you know, WikiLeaks, what Assange did, you know, I think, you know, in some ways can be applauded. You know, it's shining a light on these, you know, crimes and atrocities. And then it's always like there's always something creepy about the people that do this, though, right? It's always like, oh, well, you can't trust this guy because he's, you know, having weird sexual things going on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, everybody's got some skeletons.
Right. So then it always muddles the issue, is what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, if we let's not, you know, it's like in some ways it's not about this guy Snowden. It's about the information that they were gathering, period.
Right. And you know, everything is claimed to be fair game under the guise of anti-terrorism. But where do you draw the line? Where's enough?
Yeah, I mean, Obama basically has eviscerated that line completely. I mean, you know, Bush basically, you know, kind of destroyed it, and I think Obama sort of made a promise, and it's one of the biggest promises he didn't keep, was to turn back some of that stuff, you know, with Gitmo and all the other...
A lot of the Bush-era policies were considered draconian. Obama rapidly campaigned against them, and here we are now, knowing that he's actually expanded some of the policies.
You know, I had a thought...
Or at least turned a blind eye.
Yeah, I had a thought on that, too, you know, Maybe, you know, maybe when you become president, you see the world for what it really is. It's ugly, you know?
Yeah, and that's a very good point. A lot of us can, you know, kind of Monday morning quarterback all of this, but we don't know what it's like inside the Oval Office.
Yeah, like maybe, you know, maybe to get your job done, you need to do some get your hands dirty a little bit.
Yeah, you gotta, you know, they always say you gotta break a few eggs, but... It'll be interesting to see what happens once he gets asylum, wherever he ends up getting asylum. I wonder if Ed Snowden realizes what he's in for, that Venezuela isn't America.
Yeah. Don't you think it would be funny if, like, countries we really thought were our allies started offering him asylum? Like, if Canada was like, yeah, come on in.
Well, then we could go to a war with Canada.
Yeah, you know, like, what if Australia was like, come on in, buddy? The UK was like, oh, you're welcome here, too.
Yeah, everybody just suddenly turns on us.
Yeah, it's coming.
Hopefully not too soon.
Yeah, it's coming. One day at the UN, all of a sudden, like, everybody's just going to turn their backs on us while we're speaking.
We're going to be the redheaded step.
Yeah, completely. All right, should we move on to the last story?
Yes. Well, we actually have two more stories. One we can talk just briefly about. The student loan rates have doubled. Gone from 3.4% to 6.8%. The Republicans in Congress are demanding that this become a matter of immediate importance, and that they have to attend to it. I, as someone who has a massive mountain of debt that seems like something that I will never dig myself out of, I can feel the pain of anybody who's going to have to suffer through this. This only affects new loans. This doesn't affect.
Yeah, exactly. I was actually going to go to Washington and protest, but then when I found out it only affected new loans, I went back to sleep.
Yeah, if my loan rate doubled, I would have just stopped paying altogether.
Yeah, I was going to riot on the streets of Guatemala and Nicaragua and Venezuela, but I ended up just going back to watching Mad Men instead because it was only new loans.
But you and you have some loans, right? You have some debt.
Six figures.
Yeah, as do I. And it doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's just a payment I make every month, and it's kind of like herpes. You just have it, you deal with it.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, look, doubling student loan rates is just, I mean, it's just so flagrant. Like, this is not the way to pull in more revenue.
No, and it's not going to do anything to improve the economy, the workforce, just education across the...
No, it's just going to make life harder for people in their mid-20s when they get out of school. That's all.
Exactly.
It's just going
to... Families are going to have to struggle more. You know what? Back in the day, I mean, when I went to college, my parents had saved up some money. You know, my dad did all right. He wasn't rich. He was upper middle class. Saved up enough money to put us all through college. We won't be able to do that. You know, the college is going to cost. He's a family of two kids. It'll be a $250,000 to send to.
Yeah. My dad paid for the three of us to go to undergrad too. But then I took out loans for law school. So did my brother.
As did I.
Yeah, and my kids are going to trade school.
My kids better be very, very intelligent or very athletic. And I can tell you what, they're not going to be very athletic.
My kids are going to trade school. I'm telling you that right now.
Absolutely. Learn to put in an air conditioning unit. You'll be a lot more successful.
My kids are going to be HVAC.
Absolutely. And pipe fitters. I don't know what pipe fitters do, but I know we need them.
Yeah, we're always going to need pipe fitters. Yeah, I'm going to teach my kids to pave. Every year they're going to pave my driveway until eventually I'm going to let them start paving the streets and then I'll set them free in the world.
My son is going to be the master of drywall.
I like how we're considering only construction jobs, like instead of tech.
Yeah, because well, I mean that requires a level of intelligence that I can't absolutely guarantee my kids will have. They'll hopefully have hands that they can use a hammer.
Yeah. Now maybe they won't even have we may end up evolving so that we don't even have like arms and legs and stuff.
But it'll just be like Wall-E. We'll just be these fat blobs rolling around and floating.
Yeah, I think so. At some point.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, and our final story, and this one I just thought was bizarre and concerning. At a soccer game in Brazil last week, there was a fight between a referee and a player, where the referee stabbed the player, and the player's enraged family members then stoned the referee to death and dismembered his body.
So, in other words, just another Saturday night in Brazil.
The player got a red card.
He got a red card? He got the red card for that one, huh?
Yeah, this was literally, he got the red card.
You know, it's all fun and games until the ref stabs you in the chest.
Yeah, you know, I know this is a very American thing to say, but I don't like soccer. And I played soccer. I played soccer from the time I was 8 through high school. And I don't like soccer.
You were always afraid that the ref was going to stab you?
I always had my butterfly knife on me, just in case. And my family always had hatchets, because that's apparently what
you do. How embarrassing is it as a teenager to have your dad be that dad who dismembers the refs when you don't play well?
Dad, come on! Not again. Mom said he wasn't going to come to any more games.
Yeah, he's banned. He's banned from the PAL leagues. He's dismembering.
You know what? This really makes some of the violence going on in the NFL look pretty insignificant.
Yeah, you know who would do well in this league? Aaron Hernandez would.
Aaron Hernandez, yes. Give him a gun, and he'll get rid of all.
Yeah, you know, I actually, it's funny that this happened because I was actually, my dad just married a Brazilian woman. So good for him.
Let's assume all Brazilian women are smoking gorgeous.
Yeah, she's hot, and you know she's got that crazy, you know, hot-headed Brazilian personality. The thing is, I was planning on potentially going to the World Cup down there, but then I was advised against it, saying, you know, like it's just a complete bloodbath.
Yeah, I never saw that. I never saw that movie. What was it, Green Street Hooligans?
Yeah.
But you know, they say those soccer fans are literally rabid fans. I'm not a big live sports viewer as it is. You know, I like going to games once in a while, but it's always ends up being more trouble than it's worth.
I agree with you. Although there's a couple of sports, I think like if you get a good seat at a basketball game, like a really good seat, it's worth it. But for the most part, I'm kind of with you. For the most part, there's nothing better than a big flat screen TV.
Absolutely. You sit in your house, you have some of your friends over, you drink your own beer that you're not paying $18 for, and you just relax. Across the world, people just flock to these stadiums, and they're all, I assume they're all drunk, but they actually intend to fight each other. It cracks me up when somebody talks about their team and they go, you know, we didn't do very well. Well, you know what? You weren't out on the field, so stop saying we. These guys take it to a whole nother level.
Oh, yeah. Big time. You know, but I think, you know, look, again, it goes back to sort of what's going on in the world there. What do they have to be excited about? Like, your economy's in the toilet. You have nothing really to look forward to. All you have is this, you know, this soccer game.
Wow. It makes me feel bad about complaining about anything.
Yeah. No, I mean, look.
Thanks for being the downer.
Yeah, no, it's depressing. But, you know, look, my point is that if dismembering one ref brings you a little bit of joy in your life, I say, so, you know, let them do it.
Yeah, and you know what? You stone them to death, and then
getting creepy.
Well, I think that's just because, people want to have those as like trophies in their house, you know.
Is that that's memorabilia?
Yeah, it's memorabilia. It's there's a certain segment of I saw it on Porn Stars. I think one time somebody brought in a ref's tooth.
bring that into show and tell.
Yeah, they had an expert forensic guy to come in and evaluate the dismembered ref tooth.
I do like Porn Stars, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, they said it was definitely a ref who refed Real Madrid back in 2008. So
did they estimate that it was worth $600 and then they offered him $37?
Yeah, no, they estimate he came in and he said he wanted $1,000 for it, and they said they'll give you $10, and he said that's great, I'll take it.
And then he told the cameras that he was happy with it.
Yeah, he was very happy because he.
I think I made out.
Yeah, he said, "What am I going to do with a tooth anyway?"
It was just taking up space in the house. My wife wanted me to get rid of it.
His wife definitely made him get rid of the ref's tooth.
All right. Well, listen. Those are the big stories this week. As usual, we're gonna switch over. Look at Twitter. What's going on with our Twitter account? See if our fans are doing
anything. Yeah, a little segment we like to call "Good Cop, Bad Cop."
Look, I'm really sorry about that. I just I saw how aggressive you were being, and I thought, wow, I got to go even bigger than that since we're doing Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
What? No, I said good cop, bad cop. I'm the bad cop, you're the good cop.
Okay, then there it is. That's it. I thought you said bad cop, bad cop.
And, Matt, I usually like to take the position of the bad cop because our fans typically are completely unresponsive to us.
Not anymore.
Yeah, but it's turning on, so it's going to be hard for me to be a bad cop. Although there was one guy who seemed to get into an argument with us about a tweet about the
Don West guy, the Real Sax JD.
Yes. What was he tweeting at us about? There was some kind of argument.
Yeah, well, I guess we were commenting about how he shouldn't tell jokes at the trial.
Right, it was a Zimmerman trial, and I guess there was a story about Zimmerman's daughter, and he said that it may be tasteless and classless. Classist jokes, but she had nothing to do with it, and I don't know. Real Sax guy, JD.
Listen, I like the engagement. I'm gonna say, look, you can take issue with us. I like anybody who's engaged is good by me.
Absolutely.
We had a ton of people.
Listen, Real Sax guy. I don't know if you are a lawyer yet or if you're studying. I would assume if you have JD after your name, you're probably still studying for the bar. Or you haven't passed the bar. Because if you're still using JD, you've got the Esquire, which I throw about with rabid abandon because I paid so much money for it.
Right. It's weird. It says 01, so that means you graduated in 01. He should be I don't know.
Well, regardless, with the way the legal industry is going and the economy, I hope you're a better sax player than you are a lawyer because it'll probably be more
fun. Yeah, it's probably a more useful skill. All right, and then we had Jeff Gorham retweeting and talking to us today, last week, about client name changing petitions. I don't know what that was all about. We had Caitlin Bailey and Pink Collar retweeting us. We had James Plotkin retweeting our jokes about Don West and Dennis Rodman. We had John Stedding actually talking to us about the right to bear arms. We said happy 4th of July.
And John Stedding, I believe, he's already gotten a t-shirt.
So he's not getting another t-shirt, but I liked the interaction. He'll get one eventually when we come out with a different style of t-shirt.
Yes, when we come out with the Comedians at Law sweatshirt.
Yeah. Our other new followers, we had something called the Good Men Project. Meneer Procure, I think that's like Proskauer. I think that's slang for Proskauer. Then we had Money, Success, Freedom follow us. And then we had somebody named Beraldine Minar. So let's see, who do we give a t-shirt to? So,
it's so rare that we get any of these. I think if we mentioned your name just now, except John Stedding, because you've already gotten one. If Matt or I said your name, and you tweeted us with the hashtag CalPod, and say, I want my t-shirt, we'll send you a t-shirt. So, I mean, I think we just mentioned 6 or 7 different people. You can all get a t-shirt if you just tweeted us with CalPod, I want my t-shirt.
Or you could just send us money.
Yeah, or you could do that.
Yeah.
New way of handling things.
We give away a lot of free t-shirts.
Yeah, well, listen, and that's just, we're dedicated to our fans.
Yeah. You know what I'd like? I'd like somebody to tweet us and offer us a booking for a private gig. That's what I would like.
Yes, and remember, we are available for bookings, for private gigs, for your law school, your law firm, your legal group, or bar group. But keep that in mind. You can get us at info@comediansatlaw.com if you get your package. Our shows are awesome. The crowds, the groups we play for are always happy. And it's a lot of fun. It's different. It's better than your normal lecturer.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a law student listening to this and you're not talking to your SBA about booking us, like, talk to us. Let us know what the deal is. We should be at every school in the country. I mean, we'll probably do 30 or 40 of them, but I want to be at every single one. There's 100.
There's really no reason, because I remember law school. I remember some of the people they brought in. It wasn't entertaining. It wasn't fun. And they wasted a lot of money. So at least this would be a fruitful expenditure.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's rock. And same thing with bar associations. Anybody here who's listening who's a member of their local bar association, come on, hit us up. Show them some of our videos. Come on, what are you doing here?
Right. And again, remember, Saturday, August 10th, 9 o'clock, Coconuts Comedy Club in Pennsylvania. Email us at info@comediansatlaw for tickets. And it was this was another fun episode.
Matt, yeah, no,
the buddy, the DUI lawyer. See if we can get him on next week and talk about that checkpoint video.
Yeah, I want to do that. And also, just before we go, I just want to say one more thing to get a free T-shirt. If anybody could explain to me how to slow cook ribs on a grill, on a Weber charcoal grill, if you tweet that to CAL Pod, I will send you a free T-shirt as well. Just slow cook ribs recipe.
Cooking advice. We yeah. Take the cooking advice.
Yes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Matt, as always, it's been fun.
I will talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye.